SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Coming up on the SBS On The Money podcast, the Australian share market snaps a seven-day winning streak. Oil takes a pretty big tumble while banks also slide following Westpac's $3.3 billion half-year profit. All the details next. Hi everyone, it's Monday the 5th of May 2025. The Australian share market snapping a seven-day winning streak. The S&P ASX 200 down today by 1% at 8,157. That's as the oil price tumbled around 5% over the weekend. The Australian dollar hit a 2025 high and the banks took a bit of a slide too. And that came after Westpac's $3.3 billion half-year profit, which was down 1%. To go through all of that and more, I spoke with Kyle Rotter from Capital.com. Kyle, so after seven straight sessions of gains, a fall today, but it's been pretty impressive in the lead-up. Why the decline today?
Probably a little bit overdue. There's certainly that element, but we have had some fairly heavy-weighted areas of the market underperforming because of domestic factors as well. Energy prices dropping, not great for the energy sector. Obviously, the financials a bit weaker today as well. That's weighed on the overall market. We are seeing some, you know, still general strength through global equities. There's those hopes that perhaps trade negotiations will begin in the United States. Maybe deals will be done. The US and China are apparently starting to talk. That's a positive. But overall, I mean, we were due a pullback. And again, some of those, larger weighted areas of the market were really responsible for that sell-off.
Let's talk the election. Does the election result of the weekend mean anything for investors? I heard Westpac CEO speak earlier today during an investor and media call saying that the results today or of the weekend is significantly positive. If anything, the continuity, consistency and certainty that the re-election delivers is profound. That's what he said. What do you think?
Yeah, it's not so much who won, it's how it was won. And I think that was the surprise if you just sort of, you know, gauge it against what markets were expecting. There were fears of a hung parliament. There was fears of, you know, minority government and all of the sort of disruption, perhaps legislative gridlock that can bring. The fact that it was quite an emphatic victory and we won't have those kind of political risks going forward is something, you know, largely welcomed by investors, I think, at the margins. It's only, you know, a fairly small ripple amidst sort of the really large waves being created by global macroeconomic issues at the moment, but still it's significant. And you saw it in the Aussie dollar. The Aussie dollar popped at the open this morning because it was pricing out some of that risk. So, I mean, you know, that's one way to phrase it from the Westpac CEO there. For me, again, it's a matter of how it was won, and it just sort of takes just a little bit of risk off the table, which, you know, investors are happy that they don't have to worry about.
Speaking of Westpac, a $3.3 billion half-year profit, that's down, though, about 1%, and the share price also off, taking along the banks with it. What did investors not like about the Westpac number?
I think there is a function of expectations just being too high. And it's not because investors are necessarily that enthusiastic about the banks and the banks' growth prospects. I mean, if you do look at some of the multiples that these banks are trading at, you know, that you'd be sort of forgiven to think that these are, you know, actually growth companies, which, you know, they're not. They're largely ex-growth. So, the reasons for the share price going up is really not to do with the bank fundamentals. And then when you get these earnings results coming through from the companies that, you know, obviously have to bring us back to profits and company fundamentals, you get these kind of price adjustments on the day of the results. Net interest margins were basically steady. There's concern that perhaps they won't expand going forward considering the economic backdrop. There's also fears that maybe the weaker global growth backdrop and therefore a weaker domestic growth backdrop will affect lending conditions. So again, the results weren't bad. They certainly weren't world-beating, but they just reflect effectively a market paying much more attention to the micro-level drivers of the share price rather than the more macro-level drivers that pushed the stock price to current valuations.
What about this discussion that the banks are particularly overvalued at the moment, especially when we look at the likes of the Commonwealth Bank consistently hitting record highs? Not today, but in the past, in more recent times, it has.
Yeah, I mean, CBA is stupidly overvalued, like ridiculously overvalued. And again, it's got nothing to do with the bank's performance or the bank's growth outlook. It's an ex-growth company. You know, the way these executives at the banks, you know, look at the way that they manage their business now, it's not about growth. It's, you know, maximizing return on equity. They've done that very well, I guess, or at least they've sort of achieved that in many respects with share prices where they are. But they're not companies that should be trading, at least for the CBA, for example, on a 28-to-1 price to earnings multiple, because the growth is just not there to justify it. There are technical factors driving it. You know, a lot of that's, you know, sort of passive flows, or perhaps just, you know, obviously global money, hot money moving into our market in times where market sentiment improves. It's got nothing to do with the outlook, effectively, of the banking sector. Not that there's anything necessarily wrong with the banking sector overall. It's just not, you know, the valuations aren't really justified at these levels. And again, to go back to today's results, you know, Westpac share price wasn't really trading that much on its earnings expectations. Today it is. And as a result, it's come back a little bit just to reflect that the fundamentals rather than those other things driving the price.
The other key thing that's pushing the market down today is that of the energy sector. And that's as the oil price took a significant hit over the weekend. I think Brent's now below 59 or around 59 US, a 4-year low. Can you run us through what's pushing it lower? And what does this say about the global economy?
Well, it's a supply and demand double whammy. The demand's an obvious one. We've been talking about it for months now that the trade war, US trade policy is a very significant risk to global economic activity. And despite the fact that we've seen a bounce back in equity prices, you know, if you look outside of equities, the financial world is riddled with signals that the global economy is going to slow down. The question is to what degree. The real salt and wound, I suppose, if you are an energy investor, is that while the demand outlook has deteriorated, OPEC has pretty much taken its hands off the wheel a little bit and said, well, we're going to let supply continue to increase going forward. And as a result, we're not going to offset some of that weaker demand coming through from trade policy. The development over the weekend that sparked this sort of 4 to 5% move in oil prices was effectively that the Saudis have said that, you know, almost unilaterally, they'll increase OPEC output by about 400,000 barrels per day. Firstly, at least ostensibly, that seems to be because of wanting to slap countries like Kazakhstan and Iraq on the risk for wrist for non-compliance with existing output quotas. There is also the potential element that the Saudis are also preparing for nuclear and arms talks with the United States, and they're looking to appease the Trump administration, which have spent a lot of time trying to jawbone global oil prices lower. So again, double whammy, demand's going to be weak. OPEC's decided that they don't want to support the market anymore. And as a result, we've got these oil prices really now just reflecting the deteriorating global economic growth backdrop.
And finally, you know, given this environment, what are you telling your clients at the moment? And are there still any opportunities there for them?
In the short term, it's all about the narrative. And so if you're getting every day these developments when it comes to the global trade, and again, a lot of what's going on at the moment is effectively just one trade, risk on, risk off. Is there going to be deals and improvements in global trade conditions, or are there going to be, I suppose, worse outcomes on that front? That's kind of moving things from a day-to-day basis. The narrative has shifted. The Trump administration is trying to recraft the narrative. So if it's continuing to drip feed these positive news, no matter what you think about the future outlook, market's going to buy into that. You probably buy into that as well, higher equity prices and what have you. What will become a little bit more complicating is if the data starts to turn. So far, it hasn't. So again, you continue to sort of buy into that, you know, positive story while it persists. But overall, a very sort of risk on, risk off market. You buy into the good headlines, you sell into the negative headlines, and really you have to sort of manage things as they go, because they are really driven by headline risk.
That's Kyle Rotter there from Capital.com. Later this week, we'll also hear from the likes of ANZ and NAB. All those details later on SBS on the Money.
This SBS on the Money stream is provided for informational purposes only. The content in this stream should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision. This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.